Why wouldn't you play Caryatid instead? I guess because this isn't a defender. Also, why is this not a defender?
Because it's a tree. It can't actually block. I don't know. It's like...
No, but it can. It can block and it can attack.
I don't know. Look, early magic's weird, man. That's my only excuse.
Welcome to episode number 60 of The Memory Jar. That's right, the podcast is now a sexagenarian. As always, we are here to remember the cards, the decks, the people, and the stories that make Magic the game we love. I'm David Prestwood, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Christian Wright. Christian, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. We're having a bunch of 40-degree days here, so there's not much to talk about, really.
Dude, I would kill for a 40-degree day. We are in the 20s. Stringer Bell had no idea what he was talking about, man. Ain't nobody got nothing to say about a 40-degree day? Please, man, bring me all the 40-degree days.
True. Although he was right about taking notes in a criminal conspiracy. Don't do it, even if Robert's Rules of Order say otherwise.
Or, you know, don't take a video of your criminal conspiracy. Don't do that. The FBI will come calling. Well, you know, actually do that and then just send it directly to the FBI, if you don't mind. That would be great.
Hello, FBI lady. Wait, here's the video of my crimes.
As an aside, my favorite thing was the West Virginia state delegate who was recently elected, who stormed the Capitol, and then was on video shouting his own name and saying that he was in the Capitol. I mean, there's just no denying. There's no denying it was you.
Or the lady who pimped a real estate bill's business.
Oh, that was just wonderful.
Insurrection.
These people did not know what they were doing, thank God. Some of them did, and, you know. Man, what a wild time to turn on the television and see my former office building being stormed by an army of racists. Yeah. Just not something you see every day.
Yeah, or, you know, scenes 2 miles down your street with people, you know, ransacking, and you're wondering whether they're going to decide to go through your neighborhood or not. And that's a real valid concern.
Well, I know you and I have talked a lot about this off the podcast, and, you know, as you are currently in the middle of all of that, and I no longer live in D.C., but I'm looking at where the maps of streets that are closed in my old neighborhood, you know, the street on the backside of my block was the kind of beginning of the what they're calling the red zone. So it's wild. But anyway, how did we start into this? The wire? Did we tie the wire into this episode? Did you start that or did I?
I think I did. It's my fault.
That's typical. At least we worked referencing the wire into yet another episode.
Yes, I am glad. But, you know, it really did help plant the creative seed for this episode.
Okay, well, that is a reasonably excellent segue. Seeds into plants. So today we are going to talk about plants in Magic. We're going to highlight and talk about the plant creature type. I don't know how we first got fauna attacking in this game. You know, nature is normally sustaining you in Magic, but now it's attacking you. And I'm just hopeful I can find enough Little Shop of Horrors puns to get us through the episode.
I hope so, too. I hope we, you know, use not our green thumbs of type, but we'll be talking about, hopefully, moss dogs, creepers, and plant amalgams that, frankly, are terrifying to spend time thinking about. You know, like, this is actually a very horrifying creature type, much worse than the actual creature type horror, in my opinion, which we'll discuss in a little bit. But before we do any of that, like we always do, let's crack open the memory jar.
Okay, this week we are on Jinxed Choker. Jinxed Choker is a rare from Mirrodin. It is an artifact that costs 3 mana. It says at the end of your turn, target opponent gains control of Jinxed Choker and puts a charge counter on it. At the beginning of your upkeep, Jinxed Choker deals damage to you equal to the number of charge counters on it. And you can pay 3 to put a charge counter on Jinxed Choker or remove one from it. So the you on this card is always referring to whoever's controlling Jinxed Choker. You play it. If you want to put counters on it, that's great. But at the end of turn, you're putting a counter on it and you're giving it to somebody else.
Right. It's this idea that this will eventually kill you or your opponent. And it's kind of a race to play around with the numbers and hope that Jinxed Choker ultimately kills your opponent before it kills you. It's a neat little artifact that played a different type of game within Magic. And, you know, it looks super fun, in my opinion.
It's one of these cards that gives itself to your opponent automatically. You don't need a donate effect or anything like that. There are a couple of other Jinxed artifacts from different sets that are bad for people to control where you can do the same thing. I imagine this is a staple in Zedru decks because you're trying to give your opponents all of the cards you can.
Right. Yes. And there's a new commander in Commander Legends called Blim Comedic Genius, which is like a reverse Zedru, where you still want to donate stuff to your opponent, but it, instead of helping you, it hurts them.
Okay.
So it's a cool, neat little twist on Zedru. The sad thing about Jinx Choker is there's a really a lot of cool artifacts, maybe we'll talk sometime if we get to Mirrodin, that were rare and they did really cool things. But because this is Mirrodin, it's just absolute trash play as far as competitive Magic goes. Like, these were really overshadowed. It's a shame. Legitimately, if you go through the Mirrodin card list, there's a lot of cool stuff. But we always think about affinity cards. We think about, eventually, the Darksteel modular creatures that kind of also ruined, and Skullclamp ruined Magic at the time. And it's just, a lot of cool stuff gets overshadowed.
You know, when I think about Mirrodin, I look at this card and I think, oh, it doesn't say affinity? Get out. I'm super uninterested.
Right.
Costs 3 mana? That's not going to help my other affinity cards, so get out.
There's a lot of cool combo potential with this, I think, in EDH, right? If you have a Proliferate deck, you can get a lot of counters in it really quickly. And then you can use cards like the Wanderer or Blessed Sanctuary to prevent the Jinx Choker damage to you and then pass it off to another player.
Sure.
I think a lot of cool potential. It's a lot of cool Johnny applications. Just kind of underused right now.
I can see that. I've always thought about putting this card in an Atraxa deck. I've always wanted to make an Atraxa deck where the only counters in the deck are charge counters. So it's a four-color artifact deck. Unfortunately, it's been made clear to me that everyone will assume you have Planeswalkers and are just a miserable commander player. But I'm like, you know, I want to do this and Lux Cannon and all these things where charge counters matter. Just proliferate those every turn. So maybe there's still time. We'll see.
Yeah.
So, plants in Magic. As I mentioned earlier, we are freezing here in the Northern Hemisphere. And we're all kind of trying to summon warm weather. So, personally, I don't want to go all Jack Torrance while riding out COVID in my house in Minnesota. Part of maintaining sanity for me during the winter is imagining spring and the blossoming of plants. It's kind of like watching the earth heal itself after hibernating through these long, dark winters. We want to talk about plants and kind of conjure those thoughts of warmth and hope, even though plant is a truly bizarre creature type in Magic.
Yeah. How do plants in Magic work? They're obviously not magical plants because people eat. You see art with trellises and flowers. But how do you summon deadly plants in a battle between wizards and planeswalkers? What prompts you to look at a bush and think, let's make this plant swole and have it just hammer my opponent?
Yeah, you'll notice there's no card for, like, tomato plant. Right, just a 0/1 plant that, I don't know, gains you. Are those food tokens? Maybe that's what some of the plants are.
Maybe. I mean, but then again, like, a lot of the food tokens were very luxurious. It implies that you have to actually bake in order to get a food token. Mm.
Yeah, maybe it's just a sub-food token. You only gain one life if you sacrifice it. I just want to know why we have both plants and tree folk. Specifically, I want to know, are plants and tree folk related? Anyway, before we get to these kind of broader existential quandaries and the weird peculiarities of plants being actually summoned, Christian, when did we first see plants? What's the history here?
Yeah, so we've had plants from the very beginning of Magic. One of the first plants, which is really a wall, so for a very long time, plant was even a creature type in Magic. Technically, our first plant is Wall of Brambles. Wall of Brambles is 2 and a green for a plant wall. It has Defender. Back in the day, it was Summon Wall, which implied that it couldn't attack. And it has green, Regenerate Wall of Brambles, and it's a 2/3. So it was a very pokey wall, like it actually could stop your grizzly bears and it could actually kill your gray ogres and such. And it's a cool thematic idea that you have a very prickly wall that's going to take a little bit to actually overcome it.
I remember playing this card back when I started during Revised, and it was just very annoying because you just block and regenerate over and over and over. But yeah, plants were kind of common in early Magic. I mean, we saw plants in Arabian Nights, in the Dark. There were a couple in Ice Age, Homelands, Alliances, Mirage, and Visions. Now, all of these were like Wall of Brambles in that they were originally walls, and we wouldn't actually get a plant creature type until Utopia Tree came out, and that was an Invasion. Utopia Tree is maybe more what you would expect from something that's just a plant. It's 1 and a green for a 0/2, and you can tap it to add 1 mana of any color. That's something I think about. You're taking advantage of the plant. It's not really doing anything.
Yeah, so since Utopia Tree, we've gotten a mix of cards that are actual plants and or plants as one of multiple creature types and cards, which I guess it makes sense. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I think it makes more sense to have plant as a creature type when it's with another type if you're not talking about just a defender, something that sits there. Otherwise, you're kind of just talking about a houseplant, like a non-magical houseplant, and what is it really going to do for you?
there's a lot of non-magical houseplants. It doesn't make sense. This is so weird. I just don't get it.
Yeah, if you have a non-magical houseplant, like I could see Utopia Tree. It's just a tree. It's got some fruit on it. It's like taking the fruit is kind of like tapping it for mana. But that card doesn't have Defender. Even though it's just a tree, it's not a tree folk, it can't move. So that makes no sense to me. Some of the random walls, those make sense to me. Like Vine Trellis, it's a 0/4 wall for one and a green. It's got Defender. You tap to add greed to your mana pool. It's a plant wall. I get it. That's easy enough. What I don't understand are the plants that are moving and attacking. So let me take Mastodon, for example. 4 and a green for a 5/3 plant elephant. This is a common from Shards of Alara. You can also pay 1 and target creature with power 5 or greater gains trample until end of turn. So basically it's a 5/3 that you can make into a big trampler and can give other creatures trample. It's great that it's an elephant. Why is it also a plant? Like, what makes it a plant elephant? If this was Simic, if this was scientists in labs doing super weird stuff, that would make sense to me. But what is the flavor of an elephant that is also made from plants?
There's a lot of, like, plant skeletons, too. It's just a skeleton. What? Why does a skeleton need to have a plant on it? I think it's just to justify...
Like, if a plant has grown on the skeleton, I get that. But that's still just a skeleton. Like, what is the plant adding to the skeleton at that point?
Right. Right, there's a lot of moss dogs. Like, there are multiple moss dogs, and there are plant hounds. How can a plant be a dog? I just don't get it.
The one I understand is Plant Elemental. There are a number of Plant Elementals, including, by the way, the card Plant Elemental, in that unique group of cards that its creature types are also exactly its name.
Yeah.
Like, I understand the flavor of that.
Yeah, and... Plant elementals, anything elemental makes sense, right? Like, because it's clearly the essence of it, and you're doing some magic, and I get that. But if you're thinking about this on lore-wise, too, how can you look at something... Let's take, I think, the worst offender of all the plants is Vigian. I can't even pronounce this correctly. Vigian?
I'm guessing Vigian, yeah.
It's Vigian. Vigian Hydropon, which is one green and blue for a plant mutant. Plant mutant.
Yeah. I disagree. This one I get exactly. So this is from Dissension. It's one green blue for a 0/0 plant mutant with graft 5. So it comes into play with 5 +1/+1 counters on it. And when another creature enters the battlefield, you can move a +1/+1 counter from this onto that. And Vigigant Hydropon can't attack or block. This is perfect. This is what a plant should do. It literally just sits there. So this is like the Simic mages like did some experiments. They put a weird thing together. It can't attack or block. It doesn't move. It just sits there. But it, like, gives a benefit to your other creatures.
So, I'm not disagreeing...
It's basically like an implantment.
No, I get that.
It just sits in play.
I'm not disagreeing with that. What I don't understand is how can you have a plant mutant? By its very nature, a plant mutant is just a plant. It's just a offshoot of a plant. Like, they literally teach this in ninth grade biology. This is Pennant Squares at its fundamental nutshell. This is just a different version of the biology of a plant...
This is just Monsanto's version of a plant. It's a genetically modified hydropon that now, you know, gives counters to your other creatures. I'm okay with that. We'll agree to disagree.
I think it's the most egregious offender. The other egregious offenders are the multiple plant zombies we have. That also makes zero sense. That's just a zombie that's been in a moss-filled, algae-filled pool too long.
No, it's similar to plant skeleton, but honestly, I'm kind of lichen plant zombies. Do you get it? Lichen? Like
plant
that grows on, like the moth. Okay. Anyway, yeah. Dad jokes aside, plants are weird. The taxonomy doesn't really align, but we are really here to talk about some notable plants in Magic history. So across Magic history, there are 51 plants, and we've taken some that we want to talk about specifically. I want to start with one that I remember I had a playset of way back during Ice Age, Tinderwall. So Tinderwall is a green mana for a 0/3 plant wall with Defender. You can sacrifice it to add red. You can also play red and sacrifice it, and it will deal 2 damage to a creature that it is blocking. This was, for a long time, used as a ritual creature because you just sack it to add 2 mana.
Right. Because it was a creature that ramped, it was mainly used in Belcher decks in Legacy. So there's a card called Goblin Belcher. If you build your deck correctly, it kills your opponent in one turn. And part of that is you need to ramp into so much mana in one turn. And Tinderwall added more mana than it cost, so that's why it was included.
So I always just used it to play my War Mammoth, which is 3 and a green for a 3/3 trample on turn 2. Are you saying I should have done something maybe a little better than that?
No, I think at the time that was probably the best thing you can do with Tinderwald.
So. Probably reasonable.
It's really cool you had a playset because it's one of those cards that I think if I was a little more up on the uptake when I was a kid, I would have probably played at least 8 of these. You're telling me I can automatically add an extra mana to my mana pool? That's awesome. I can play Giant Strength on something. How cool is that?
Sick.
The next one we should talk about, this is an all-timer. This is an iconic card on the green creature Mount Rushmore? I don't know. Anyway, it's Wall of Blossoms. This was originally printed in Stronghold. It's 1 and a green for a plant wall. It has Defender, and when it enters the battlefield, draw a card, and it's 0/4.
Yeah, so you're probably familiar with Wall of Omens, which is the white version of this, originally from
Rise of the Eldrazi.
That card certainly got a lot of play in various control decks. This is the same card, it's just in green. It's a color that wants the 0/4 enter draw less, but a cantripping creature for 2 mana way back in Stronghold, just very good.
Green was really bad then. Like, there were famous Magic articles written by an old Magic writer named Jamie Wakefield. Listeners, if you want to go down a rabbit hole for some good old Magic writing, Jamie Wakefield is right up there. He railed against the power of green. He loved green. It was his favorite color. And he was incensed that green was wretched. Like, outside of Survival of the Fittest and maybe Defense of the Heart, you really didn't want to play green. But this was one of those cards where, like, because it was doing something different, if I remember correctly, he really liked Wall of Blossoms. Because it was, like, outside of green's color pie at the time.
You didn't get cantrip creatures like this at that time. And it's such a little incremental value card where it protects your life total extremely well and replaces itself. Yeah. It's hard to beat.
Yeah, and this has been in a lot of cubes on Magic Online. Like, it's almost a cube staple at this point. And it's a great place to start with any green deck. Works really well.
Great art, too.
Yes. Heather Hudson.
I mean, she did a lot of stuff really way back in the day. I don't know that she's done anything recently, but the art on Wall of Blossoms is really gorgeous.
Yes. It's also one of the few cards in Magic history when they've had multiple printings, they have not bothered to change the art.
Yeah, a lot of printings for the same art.
That's just how iconic it is.
So the next one I want to talk about is Vinelasher Kudzu. This is a rare from Ravnica City of Guilds. It's 1 and a green for a 1/1 plant. And it says, whenever a land comes into play under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on it. With incredible flavor text, it grows to hate you. This is a landfall trigger before landfall, and 2-mana 1/1 just gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not much to say about it. It worked really well for the draft sets at the time because there's a lot of different guilds that wanted the +1/+1 counters. You know, it was played standard. I'm just kind of surprised they haven't reprinted it since then in a standard
set. They printed it in like a dual deck, and then they put it in that the Simic guild kit when they were doing the guild kits. And it does fit in Simic pretty well, obviously. The fact that it was so standard playable, you look at this now and you think, like, oh, this is a really good card for draft. But no, it was legit.
Speaking of legit cards that used to be legit, but now we've quit, that's not going to work. But you can
not legit enough to quit? Wait, too not legit to quit?
Yeah, so you know what? Sure.
Did it.
Vultra Zombie is this card that we quit, but was legit. It is 3 black and a green for a 3/3 plant zombie. It has flying, and whenever a card is put into opponent's graveyard from anywhere, put a +1/+1 counter on Vultra Zombie.
This was a commander staple. They printed it in the first commander set. They reprinted it in a couple of commander sets because it's just a 3/3 flyer that grows. How could you go wrong?
Right, and it's not really played a whole lot anymore because, you know, 2019-2020 Magic has ruined a lot of formerly good cards. But honestly, you should be playing this more often. Your opponents are probably playing fetch lands. Your opponents are doing stupid stuff like playing Wheel of Fortune and Windfall and all these other draw sevens that force them to discard their hand first. And this grows pretty quickly.
Yeah, it can get really dumb. And it's whenever a card is put into opponent's graveyard. It's not whenever one or more cards. So if one of your opponents, you know, gets milled for 3, then this is a 6/6 flyer.
Right. That's pretty common. You're not jumping through a lot of hoops to make this a big creature.
No, seems, as you said, quite legit. Next one I want to talk about is a pair, a mirrored pair, Tree of Redemption and Tree of Perdition. Not Tree Folk, because they are not living, moving trees. They're just trees. So Tree of Redemption was a mythic from Innistrad. 3 and a green for a 0/13 plant with Defender. You can tap it to exchange your life total with Tree of Redemption's toughness. Then Tree of Perdition, a mythic from Eldritch Moon, 3 and a black, a 0/13 plant defender. And this one you tap to exchange an opponent's life total with Tree of Perdition's toughness. So the green one affects you, and the black one affects your opponents, which is very flavorful. Tree of Perdition is obviously more powerful,
right?
Because doing this to your opponent is really sick. This is a card in my Phoenix Commander deck. Because switching it with your opponent's life total and then tapping this with Phoenix and play to mill them for 40 is generally very good. Both cool cards that could probably spend a lot more time in play in Commander.
Yeah, people railed against the original Sorin, right? Because that could set an opponent's life total to 10 automatically. And people were like, oh, that's that's egregious. And Tree of Perdition is just basically that, but cheaper.
Yeah, I guess the difference is it takes one turn, right? It doesn't have haste, so you have to wait a turn cycle and maybe somebody can kill it. But yeah, it's pretty much the same thing.
It is pretty much the same thing. I will say, for the record, I did play Tree of Redemption in that standard because there was some aggressive decks and they couldn't stop a 0/13 big butt creature. And a lot of times, you probably were really close to dead thanks to Hellrider. So gaining 10, 11 life with it was pretty needed.
No, I can see that. Tree of Redemption certainly not as good in a Commander setting because the amount of time you spend between 1 and 12 life is much less than the amount of time you spend at any other life total.
Right.
But there are things you can do with 0/13. You at least have to put this in your Assault Formation deck.
Yes. Big old butts. Can I real quickly talk about how creepy these cards are to look at?
Oh my god, please.
So Tree of Redemption, the art is set during the day, but if you look carefully, there's a lot of nooses hanging from this tree. The flavor text is, the executioner's tree in Thraben Cathedral holds the power to absolve more than the souls of the hanged, which is very creepy. And on top of that, you're thinking, wow, that's a lot of nooses they have. Does that mean they like mass execute people often? Ooh. And then Tree of Perdition has people hanging from it.
Yeah, and the flavor text here is, there will be no absolution. So they really mirrored these cards super effectively.
They did. Good job, Wizards.
Can't wait to go back to Innistrad when we don't have Flying Spaghetti Monsters. Not that I don't love Flying Spaghetti Monsters. The whole everyone going insane and developing weird lattices in their skin was definitely horrifying. So,
oh yeah,
here for that horror.
So this next card is a surprise. You're going to probably guess what it is as I start describing it. We have 3 episodes devoted to the original Theros set. Not even the whole block, just the original set. And we talked about Theros Beyond Death. And somehow, in all of those podcast episodes, we never got to Sylvan Caryatid, which is mind-blowing. I have no idea how we missed this, listeners. So Sylvan Caryatid, 1 to green for a 0/3 plant. It has Defender and Hexproof, and you can tap it to add one of any color to your mana pool.
So in recent standard, we had Paradise Druid, which is 1 and a green for a 2/1 mana dork that has Hexproof when it's untapped. The value of being able to get one use out of it before they could possibly kill it was immense. There's a reason Sylvan Caryatid was a standard staple.
Yes. Honestly, it's a staple for Commander. You don't usually run a whole lot of mana dorks, but the fact that this can't be targeted, even in Commander, that has a lot of value. And it has kind of a big enough butt that if there's some stupid 1/1s that are trying to push through, at least it can serve as a blocker. This is run in a lot of decks in EDH. We're talking the thousands according to EDH Rec.
Do we think this is the most commonly played plant in Commander?
Yes, I think this is. This is close to 8,000 decks on EDH Rec, and that's probably a lot more because it's cheap and it's easy to slot into any green deck.
Not bad. So if you're looking for your card that taps for 1 mana of any color, Sylvan Caryatid is an excellent choice. I want to talk about one more. This one I have loved. It is Genesis Hydra. So Genesis Hydra is a rare from Magic 2015. It cost X green for a 0/0 plant Hydra. So when you see an X and a 0/0 Hydra, you know what's going to happen here. It enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters on it. But when you cast the spell, you reveal the top X cards of your library, and you can put a non-land permanent card with converted mana cost X or less from among them onto the battlefield, then shuffle the rest into your library. It's kind of a reference to Genesis Wave. It just does it for one thing. This is one of the cards from Magic 2015 that was designed by outside designers. And this one was designed by George Fan, who is the creator of the Plants vs. Zombies video game, which Magic also already had a history with. The card Grave Bramble from Innistrad was a pretty clear reference to Plants vs. Zombies. It was a 1 green 3/4 plant with Defender and Protection from Zombies. So kind of coming full circle here. Genesis Hydra is very, very sweet. You get a big creature, and even if the creature is countered or killed, you're getting some kind of free spell out of the deal. This is another card that is pretty often played in Commander.
I played this in Standard, too. There was a very weird Temur Ascendancy deck, which was basically mono green, except you play Temur Ascendancy, but you play Genesis Hydra and you comboed off. I mean, honestly, like, I love casting free spells. This is quasi-cascade. The fact that it has legs in Commander, it's a good thing to see, especially since so many core sets gets lost in the shuffle. And if you look at some of these design by cards for Magic 2015, some are played. Like, we have Waste Not, we have Obnixilus Unshackled, which is still really good. Yeah, we have Chasm Skulker too. Like, there are some very solid cards, but then you have things like Cruel Sadist. Like, that's a cool card. It's a 1/1 for a 1 that you can pay life to grow it, and then it remove all the counters off it to kill a creature. That's really cool, but kind of been lost to the sands of time.
Yeah, I just like the idea of a Plant Hydra. It's not the first Plant Hydra we had. We had one from Ravnica City of Guilds and one from Dissension. This makes sense to me. It's a plant that has somehow come alive. It has a lot of different heads, like plants have, you know, many buds or flowers, and is attacking you. So, just a really cool card all around.
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked a lot about plants themselves, but notably, there are a few cards in Magic that actually care about plants. Either they make them or they have some interaction with them. And I thought we should talk about those because they're kind of like the green thumbs of Magic. They really cultivate and foster, and this metaphor is just kind of dying out. But you know what? Let's just talk about some of these cards that care about plants.
Yeah, so there are 10 cards in Magic that really care about plants in some way, but are not plants themselves. There are 3 different plant tokens in Magic history. There's a 0/1, a 0/2 Defender, and a 1/1. And they're all made by non-plant creatures. So the plants are not kind of self-reproducing. One of those comes from the Plant Commander. They finally gave people who wanted to build a plant-focused deck of Commander back in Commander 2019. That's Grismold the Dreadsower. So he is 1 green/black for a 3/3 legendary troll shaman. He has trample, and at the beginning of your end step, each player creates a 1/1 green plant creature token. The hitch then is whenever a creature token dies, Grismold gets a +1/+1 counter.
This guy, he's growing little buddies. He's like, hey, I've made this flower that'll bite you. Please take it. Mm-hmm. Oh no, you killed it. I'm angry. I'm going to grow bigger. But here's another one. I still forgive you.
Yeah, I don't know why he's a troll or a shaman or why he makes plants and not something else, but we're kind of here for it. Green and black are the 2 main plant colors. You get all the plant zombies. You know, he's not Sultai, so you miss out on a couple of blue plants. But yeah, this is a guy who clearly loves plants so much so that he wants to give them to everyone.
He's really kind of an eco-fascist, you know? We got to watch out for him.
He's plants for all.
He's the kind of guy at the beginning of COVID who's like, ooh, the smog's gone away. Nature is healing. And you're like, really, Grismold? Really? Like, what the hell, man? Here's the other thing. We really missed an opportunity. This is basically Poison Ivy from the Batman comics. I don't read the Batman comics. The only exposure to Poison Ivy I've seen is through the Batman cartoons or that horrendous Batman movie with nipples on the suit.
The Joel Schumacher movie.
That one.
Uma Thurman is...
With Uma Thurman. So...
atrocious.
I might be off base, but this is basically Poison Ivy. Am I crazy?
I could see a Poison Ivy DC Secret Lair crossover. God, now that I say it out loud, I really don't want that. But I could see that happening, and this being Poison Ivy, for sure. Okay, let's move on. What's next?
Next is, honestly, probably the reason we created this episode is Avenger of Zendikar. So this is an EDH staple, but we'll gladly read it here. It's 5 green/green for a 5/5 elemental. When it enters the battlefield, create a 0/1 green plant creature token for each land you control and has landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you may put a +1/+1 counter on each plant creature you control. Just an army in a can. This is a house. A brick house.
Yeah, this does everything you want to do. It just makes a ton of creatures, and even if they're tiny garbage creatures, all you have to do is play a land to make them less garbage, and then you play a bunch more lands. And it's like, we're playing Commander, there are ways to play lots of lands in a turn. It just makes so many plants. And it's very flavorful from the original World Wake story, right?
Sure. It does make sense because, real quick summary about the original Zendikar, Jace, Chandra, and Sarkhan are all trying to go on an expedition. They run into Ugin's Eye. Some shenanigans happen, and they resummon the Eldrazi. And Avenger of Zendikar is the land kind of coming up and fighting back and getting ready to fight back against the Eldrazi. So,
yeah, that's all I meant. I don't mean anything particular about the story beat other than this is the land rising up to fight back against the Eldrazi. This card recently got a friend in Zendikar Rising in Phylath World Sculptor. Phylath is 4 red green for a 5/5 legendary elemental, and when it enters the battlefield, you create a 0/1 green plant creature token for each basic land you control. So you're making fewer.
Yes.
But similar. And this has landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you put 4 +1/+1 counters on a target plant you control. So it's not spreading them amongst all the plants, but you can make individual huge plants. And so they play well together. I feel like maybe Phylath is just a legendary version. He's one of Zendikar's Avengers.
I can see that. And I'm glad we read this out loud because I may have been misplaying this as every land and not basic land.
Okay.
I kind of don't like the fact that it grows a plant instead of spreading it out. But that's also the Avengers Zendikar stand in me.
If you look at the art for Phylath, he's kind of holding one plant. And he's basically like, this is my plant. This is my dude. This plant's going to get 4 +1/+1 counters. You guys wait your turn, but this is the plant for right now.
Oh, he's got a little face. Different than the Avenger. How unsettling is that? That's like some Uncanny Valley stuff right there.
Not a fan.
Oh, no, this is... Now the truth's out. I can't handle it.
All right, well, let me give you one more, a card that I really like. Nissa, Voice of Zendikar, is 1 green-green for a 3 loyalty Planeswalker. This was a mythic in Oath of the Gatewatch. It's a Planeswalker Nissa, obviously, and its abilities are +1, create a 0/1 green plant creature token, -2, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control, and -7, you gain X life and draw X cards, where X is the number of lands you control. This was a pretty big player in Standard around Oath.
Yeah, I mean, it played well with Gideon Allies in the car, which is in the set right before it. It's a 3-mana Planeswalker, so, you know, it's probably good. You know, there's a few whiffs, but in general, 3-mana Planeswalkers really hit it out of the park. And it's an army in a can, right? You create a bunch of plants, you might minus them to grow them, and it's a slow, steady grind to build an army.
Right, yeah. You know, protects itself a little. A 0/1 plant is going to block any non-trampled, non-flying creature. And then if you're playing other creatures, and you're making them swole with that -2, you have to feel pretty good about yourself. This was a secret linchpin to my Modern Doubling Season deck because you could play it on turn 2, assuming you're playing Birds of Paradise or Arbor Elf or something on turn 1, and then you just start making plants.
Yeah.
And by the time you play a Doubling Season, you're getting a lot of plants, and then you're using the ultimate to draw a bunch of cards. And
it's actually a really well-designed 3-mana Planeswalker.
So that's it for plants. We talked a lot about plants, cards that make or care about plants. I have one question for you. Is there a non-plant card with plant in the name that you really like? Do those count as plants?
They don't count as plants, but I can only think of Urza's Power Plant, so it's Urza's Power Plant.
Yes. Urza's Power Plant is definitely a good one. I would probably go with Supplant Form.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a 4 blue-blue from, I think, Fate Reforged. It's an instant where you bounce a creature, but then you put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of that creature. So, cool swing and limited.
We currently have my girlfriend's cat, Sammy, who's falling asleep, and he likes Parasitic Implant, so there we go. We covered all our bases.
Parasitic Implant. That was a jump start, right?
Yes, it was. It originally was from New Phyrexia, and it does stuff.
What does that do?
But the joke is, it's the third card that has plant in the name. That's not a plant.
Oh, okay. So there are three that have plant in the name. All right, so that's it. Are there plants you like that we didn't talk about? I can't imagine that's the case. I feel like we hit all the highlights. There are just not a lot of plants. There are only, what, EDH Rec had like 21 plant tribal decks total?
We got to grow that. We got to water it, give it some sunshine, let it grow.
Sounds good. Before we go, how do you feel about Kaldheim? Does it make you want to do like an Ice Age sealed with me?
I'll do an Ice Age sealed with you. I actually really like Kaldheim so far. I'm always wary of snow mana, just because I have played with snow mana. Snow mana was a friend of mine, and I'm afraid of that fold friend of mine. That is terrifying. The other, I do like the designs. I like that there's gods that die. I think there's only a couple of push cards so far, but other than that, you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, maybe I'll eat some crow or raven to keep the flavor going in 2 months, and we're complaining about, I don't know, that Kasima or something else, and we're just like, oh my god, they keep designing push sets, and oh, it's another card we have to ban. But well, who knows?
We'll see what happens. Winter is coming, and I am here for it. I want to talk a little bit about the snow types. So we now have snow instants and sorceries in the set, which are new. Snow artifacts are mostly new. I mean, with one notable exception from Modern Horizons that has been banned. I'm not even going to say its name. And then snow lands and creatures and enchantments have been around for a while. But I want to talk about the portmanteaus we're using to describe these.
Okay.
Because do you have preferences?
I've thought about this. So let's start with snow instants. I'm thinking snintstance.
Yes, snintstance is objectively correct.
Yes, yes. Snow sorceries? This is tough. I'm going to say snorceries.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to go snorceries. I am definitely on board with snorceries. Yeah, the SN prefix is really big for me. So snintstance and snorceries is where we're at. Okay, snow artifacts?
What's your take on this first?
I know some people are into snortifacts. I'm a big snartifacts guy. It's snartifacts for me.
Snartifacts. 500%.
Okay. Like, it sounds like a Phyrexian.
It also...
So I'm pretty here for it.
It's... What was the... That cartoon in the 70s that was like, Snarf? He did... That was... It's like that. I can't remember the name. It was garbage. It was a garbage cartoon. But it was on Cartoon
Network. No, that was Snarf from Thundercats. Are you trashing Thundercats on this podcast?
Oh, I didn't realize about Thundercats. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Listeners, the official position of this podcast is not that Thundercats is a garbage cartoon. I just want to be very clear about that.
So, yeah. So, it's a Thunder... Yeah, Snarf. Yeah, we'll say Snartifacts.
Okay. Yeah. Snow enchantments.
You know what? I don't think there's a good portmanteau for this. Like, just snow enchantments. I think you can't portmanteau it.
Okay. I'm actually fine with snow enchantments. I could see snow enchantments, or if there's some kind of, like, ice enchantments or something, but no. Snow enchantments is fine. Snow creatures? Look, I have small children, and I read a lot of Dr. Seuss books, so I'm going to go with Sneetchers, which makes me think of Sneetches.
Yeah, I was trying to get the C in there, but Sneetchers. Mm-hmm. I like Sneetchers. It all sounds like sneakers, so...
It does. Snowlands, I think, are just Snowlands.
Yeah, but it's two one-mana syllable words. You can't... What are you going to do? Slans? Yeah. Like, slans just sounds like you have a glandular issue, and you just went to a doctor. So
yeah, and you have slants.
We have slants. Yeah. So no, snowland.
Now, there are no planeswalkers in this set with a snow super type. But this is the key question. If there were, what would you call them?
Snockers.
No, I'm sorry. The correct answer we were looking for is snow-covered planeswalkers.
That's dirty. That's awful. No, it's...
All right, well, listeners, if you have a different idea, you are welcome to tell us. Thank you all for joining us today. You can find us on Twitter at our handle, at MemoryJarMTG. We would love your feedback, and please tell us what cards you want to snow-member? Snow-remember?
That sounds like that sounds like No Shave November now. This is getting very confusing. Again, special thanks to Chris Yates for the Snogo. We greatly appreciate it.
Snow logo? Do we have a snow version of our logo?
We'll have to Photoshop some snow on it.
We'll have to talk to Chris Yates.
We too. You can find Chris on Twitter at CMY Company. That's company with a K. And until next time, I hope you find your roots, and I hope you really get some sunlight. Get some vitamin D. Be like a plant. Get out in the sun and enjoy playing some magic.